Let's stand this morning in reverence to the Word of God. I have a message on my heart this morning. I thought I was going to preach it all last Sunday, and that didn't work out too good. By the way, I heard that statement that Brother John made Wednesday night. He said something like this: "I ain't like a pastor, I ain't going to hold you." You heard it, didn't you, Steve? Now listen to me, Brother Steve. I'll play it back for you. Oh, he blamed you? Okay. Well, that's all right then if he blamed Steve. Amen. I heard one time about a man in a plant where they were manufacturing things, and everything that went wrong in that plant, Brother Steve, they blamed it on this man. It was his fault. He did it. Friday, boss come out with one check. They gave it to that man. Everybody else wanted to know what was going on. The boss said, evidently, he's the only one doing anything around here. He's the only one makes a mistake. So, Brother Steve, you might be the only one doing anything around here. Amen. Let's read in the Word of God. 1 John chapter number 2. The Bible said, little children, it is the last time. Please go over if you haven't already. And if you weren't here last Sunday, especially read in Hebrews chapter number 1. What the Bible said about the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even so, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But, here's our text, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, if you know anything about the Jehovah's Witness organization, you'd know, according to that verse right there, what they are. Yeah. Oh, you say, preacher, they'll talk to you about Jesus. Honey, they don't a bit more believe he's the Son of God than a man in the moon. Amen? Yeah. They believe he's maybe the spitting image of the Father, but they do not believe he is God incarnate. They don't believe it. And there are many other religions that don't believe it. They believe he was a prophet, a good man, a priest, but they do not believe he's the Son of God. I'm glad I believe that. I'm glad I believe the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. You can be seated. Pray for us as we begin part two of this message, the danger of function apart from unction. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to stand and read the Bible, the precious Word of God. God, I pray this morning that you would help us to be clear, our Father, in the message. And Lord, I pray that you would make the message clear in our hearts. Lord, I need you to anoint the speaking, the preaching of the Word of God this morning. And Lord, I need you to anoint the hearing of the Word of God. Lord, you said in John chapter 4 that they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, there's no worship apart from the Holy Spirit. There's no worship apart from the truth of the Word of God. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. God, thank you for guiding us. Lord, I could have been raised up in a cult. I could have been raised up, Lord, where the Word of God was not taught. I could have been raised up, Lord, and not known that Jesus was the precious, darling Son of God that gave his life on Calvary that we might have life and have it evermore, have it abundantly here forever in heaven. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. What I want to look at today, we looked at, and I can't go back and rehash all that or re-preach it, but last week we looked at the danger of function apart from unction when it's concerning our faith. We talked about the verse over there where Jesus said, many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. He said in another text, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We believe that faith affects behavior. We believe that someone that genuinely believes, it makes a change in their life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're not perfect. Thank God we will be. We're going to be just like Jesus one day. Read 1 John chapter number 3. And he that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This morning what I'd like to do is pick up on this thought. I'm staying in the chapter. The danger of function apart from unction, not only concerning our faith, but concerning our fellowship. Beloved, listen, when one gets saved by the grace of God, God puts him into the most precious fellowship that this world has ever known. A fellowship of believers that can fellowship one with another and fellowship with their Father. You see, there was a reason I couldn't fellowship with my Father. It was my sin. And beloved, even after that we're saved, listen, if you don't hear anything else I said this morning, hear this. Even after that we're born again, placed into the church, placed into the body of Christ, there's one thing that'll keep you from fellowshipping with God, and that's sin. The Word of God said, but your iniquities has separated between you and your God. So God made a way that we could be saved by the blood, and he also made a way that we could be cleansed by the blood. That when we made errors or mistakes or we sinned, that we could get that right with God and be in fellowship once again, one with another and with our Father, which is in heaven. I believe with all of my heart, the text bears it out. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 1 in chapter number 2. There's a danger of function apart from unction. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask a question. It's personal, and you might not want to answer it. Has anybody ever been to church, and you knew good and well that you weren't in fellowship? Would you raise your hand? There was something going on in there. You were struggling with it. You were battling with it. And listen, there's people, a man and wife, have been to church, and they put on something when they got out of the car that they didn't have in the car. Somebody help me. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say there's a danger of going through the motions and acting like we're in fellowship with God and one with another when we don't have the unction of the Holy Ghost. It's just not true. The danger of function apart from unction. John said in 1 John chapter number 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin. And not for our sin only, but for the sin of the whole world. Let me ask you this. Who's writing? John, the beloved disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was willing to say, our sin. He didn't say, your sin. He said, our sin. He put himself right in there as well. And beloved, I believe this morning that what God is going to teach us is concerning our fellowship. Look in chapter number 1 for just a moment. In verse number 5. Well, I need to back up. Look at verse number 3. That which ye have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. John, listen, he loved God. He loved Jesus. He went all the way to Calvary with him. And it was important to John that he had fellowship with other believers. Amen? Watch this now. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and, not or, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your, what's that next word? Let me tell you something right now. Every born-again believer in this place knows I'm telling it right, beloved. When you lose fellowship, you lose your joy. They go hand in hand. But see, there's no joy. There's no joy in the Lord. There's no joy of the Lord apart from fellowship with God and God's people. there's no joy. The joy goes. And beloved, listen, it's true. One preacher said if a Jersey would walk through the back door of the average church, said it'd give ice milk before it got to the altar. Amen. Oh, we used to teach them when they were little kids and just aggravating them. You know them cows that's got that black and white all over them? Just decides on which side you pull, whether you get chocolate milk or white. Amen. All I'm trying to tell you is, in the average church today, there's a coldness. There's a lack of the joy of the Lord. I mean, listen, a joy will affect your home. It'll affect your job. It'll affect your church life. It'll affect your Bible reading. It'll affect your praying. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect raising the youngins. Joy will affect it all. But there's no joy apart from fellowship. I mentioned it last week. I mentioned, you know, how that ladies used to have to go out and get the stove wood and build a fire and all of that. And we've got all the niceties now where you just turn a button and it's either a gas stove or electric stove. There's a microwave. There's a dishwasher. I remember my son one time, he went down to, he bought a bass boat. It was a river boat. What do you call them things, Brother Garage? Oh, a jet boat. One of them. You could run in that much water. It scared me to death. He'd run up over them rapids. There wasn't that much water running over. That thing just skip along the top of the water. Never seen anything to beat. He said, Dad, he said, you ought to have seen that kitchen. He said they had four refrigerators. He said they had three stoves. And he went to naming off this and that. He said, Dad, we didn't have that. I said, no, son, but we had four dishwashers. That's how many children, Miss Eve, and I had. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Seemed like back then they had a lot more joy. Seemed like back then, even scrubbing clothes, people could do it with a song. I'm right, aren't I, sister? And they could sing Amazing Grace while they was washing the clothes out and while they were hanging them out on the line. All I'm trying to tell you, beloved, listen. Listen, especially in the mess that we're living in right now, we need to concentrate on fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping one with another. Listen, I asked Brother Sam about somebody a while ago, and I said, Brother Sam, where are they? He said, at home. I said, well, I'm going to call them. I'm burdened about them. Listen, when you look around and you don't see somebody, it would be good. Listen, I believe if we're fellowshipping with God, God would put a burden on our heart and we'd want to call somebody or send them a note and let them know, amen, that they're being prayed for and that they're missed in the house of God. And beloved, I believe, listen, God wants us to fellowship with Him and fellowship one with another. Lost people look at the average Christian and they say, well, miserable as he is, I don't need that. Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? Beloved, listen, God's people, the Bible said, ought to have joy and ought to have it life and ought to have it abundantly. Amen. For the glory of God. Watch this now. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message that you have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. A lot of darkness in the world. A lot of darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I want you to understand that John is not writing this to the people sitting on a bar stool drinking Bud Dummer and Miller Lowline. John is writing this to the people of God. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, he said, we're lying and we're not doing the truth. He said this, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, wait a minute. You're going to see the importance of your Bible right here. Somebody fill in the blank. Is a lamp unto my feet? Thy what? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have said this before, and I believe it's true. You and I will never be any closer to our God than we are to this book. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And thank God Almighty, the light shined in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Listen, he was full of grace and truth. And if you get close to him, he'll fill you up with the same grace and the same truth. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what they were told over there in the book of Nehemiah. It's not time to mourn. Listen to me. Yes, it's dark out there. Yes, they're trying their best, Brother Steve, to get the darkness in here. Thank God there's one greater than the darkness. He's the light. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Watch this now. Watch this, Sister Teresa. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, it's never lost its power, Sister Teresa. Listen, not only does it have saving power, but thank God it has sanctifying power. And when we get out of step with God, it's the blood that lets us get back in step, get back in fellowship with him. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from most of our sin. Is that what it said, Brother Ike? And amen, brother. I like what one preacher said, Brother Ike. He said, you know what all means in the Greek? It means all. That's what it means, amen. All. I'll tell you what, I thank God I know what it is. To get under Holy Ghost conviction as a sinner. I thank God I know what it is to get under Holy Ghost conviction as a man of God. As a Christian. And really, you've heard this said, I believe I saved when I made that first step. I believe that Christian, when God breaks his heart, Brother Gary, here comes repentance. I believe at that moment, the rest of it's just a formality. But I do believe the child of God wants to talk to his Father. I like that. There was a line in a song years ago, said, it's me again, Lord. Amen. You say, preacher, he ought to get tired of listening to us. Oh, thank God for a Savior that's merciful, that's long-suffering, that's patient, and never gets tired of his youngins coming and saying, it's me again, Lord. Hallelujah. What a Savior. There's a danger of trying to function apart from the unction that's needed in order to stay in fellowship with God. I read this, and I want to share this with you. It blessed my heart. It blessed me when I read this. In the fall of the year, Linda, a young woman, was traveling alone up the rutted and rugged highway from Alberta to the Yukon. Now, I know in that area up there, they've got something called moose. They've got something called grizzly bears, things like that. Linda didn't know that you don't travel to Whitehorse alone in a rundown Honda Civic. So she set off where only four-wheel drives normally venture. The first evening, she found a room in the mountains near a summit and asked for a 5 a.m. wake-up call so she could get an early start. She couldn't understand why the clerk looked surprised at her request, but as she awoke to the early morning fog shrouding the mountaintops, she understood. Not wanting to look foolish, she got up and went to breakfast. Two truckers invited Linda to join them. And since the place was so small, she felt obliged. Where are you headed? One of the truckers asked. She said, to Whitehorse. In that little Civic? No way. This pass is dangerous in weather like this. Well, I'm determined to drive, was Linda's gusty, if not very informed, response. Then I guess we're just going to have to hug you, the trucker suggested. Linda drew back. There's no way I'm going to let you touch me. Not like that, the truckers chuckled. We'll put one truck in front of you, one in the rear, and that way we'll get you through the mountains. All that foggy morning, Linda followed those two red dots in front of her and had the reassurance of a big escort behind as they made their way safely through the mountains. Caught in the fog in our dangerous passage through life, we need to be hugged with fellow Christians who know the way and can lead safely ahead of us, and with others behind gently encouraging us along. We too can pass safely. You know what every believer needs? They need somebody in front of them that's got some unction, that's not just going through the motions, but walking with God, Brother Ike. Got a touch of God on their life so they can see that light. Yes, it's foggy. Yes, it's dark. I'll tell you what our teenagers and our youngins need. They need mamas and daddies that'll be full of God. And beloved, listen, not just going through the motions, but have the touch of God on their life where they can see the light and know there's somebody in front that knows the way. There's somebody behind that knows the way. And I'm going to be all right. I say, bless the Lord. Thank God. You say, preacher, it's getting foggy out there. Yeah, it's getting dark out there. The darker it gets, the less light that it takes to make a difference. Years ago, the children were singing in a Bible school, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And I don't know what got a hold of me. I'm odd. I know that. But I just stopped them right in the middle of it. I said, I'm tired of hearing that. Who is the light? Somebody tell me. I said, let's stop singing "This Little Light" and sing "This Big Old Light." This big old light, Brother Wayne of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This big old light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You say, Pastor, who do you think you are saying that you have the light and it's yours? Hallelujah. He is mine and I am his. That's what the Song of Solomon said. I belong to him. Thank God. This morning, there's a danger concerning our fellowship of function apart from unction. The Bible said here, notice with me, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us. What's that word again? From what? All unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I've learned this through the years. I believe I'm right. I don't believe that a sinner ever gets right with God apart from the dealing of the Spirit of God. Brother Logan, I don't believe a saint of God ever gets right with God apart from the dealing of the Spirit of God. In other words, beloved, we can excuse something that's going on in our heart. We can dismiss it. We can say, well, it's not near as bad as what so-and-so's doing or what so-and-so done to me. But I tell you, when the Spirit of God shows up and we realize, like David did in Psalm 51, I planned on going over there today, but I'm not going to have time. When we realize it's against thee and thee only, Lord, that I've sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And beloved, we realize we've lost our joy. That's what David said. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. He said over there in one place, let me read it. Psalm 51. This is too precious to leave it all. Psalm 51. I won't read all the verses, but let me show you what he said. It's precious to me. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness. You know what happened in David's life? David sinned with Bathsheba. David sinned against Uriah. David sinned against the nation of Israel. And lo and behold, David sinned against the God of Israel. But listen, David, when he sinned, he hadn't heard joy and gladness for a long time. He was going through the motions. He was functioning as the king of Israel. But he did not have the unction of the Holy Ghost in his life until Nathan came along and said, "You're the man that needs to get right with God." What did David pray? "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee." Beloved, is it possible that the reason we don't have any more interest in lost people than we do is we've lost our joy? Help me. It's quiet. That's all right. I'm going to tell you something right now. Those grandmothers and papaws that I'm talking about, beloved, listen, that didn't have all those niceties in life, they carried a burden. How many can remember being in a church service where some godly grandmother would stand up and weep and say, "Would y'all help me pray for my boy? My boy's lost. Where's that burden? Where's that kind of joy?" Oh, you say, "Preacher, you're talking about joy and talking about a burden like that? That's exactly what I'm talking about." Beloved, when the Bible talks about fellowship, it's not just talking about a meal over in a fellowship hall. It's talking about the fellowship of the gospel, the fellowship of his suffering. It's not all peaches and cream. It's not all mountaintop. Beloved, you want to find a real friend. Brother Ralph, you sung not too long ago, "I found a faithful friend." You want to find a real friend? It's one that will go with you in the valley. Jesus will always go with you in the valley. But I'll guarantee you this. If you'll look around, Sister Brenda, there'll be somebody down here that'll go with you in that valley. Don't want you to go alone. That'll bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I thought about the little article that I read to you was by Don Graham. I thought about as them two little taillights on that truck. I thought about, Brother Steve, there was somebody knocking holes in the darkness. Somebody knocking holes in the fog. I'll tell you something right now. Listen, we can kid ourselves if we want to, but we ain't knocking holes in no darkness if we're not in fellowship with God. If we're just going through the motion, amen. We're part of the darkness. But if we walk with God, God will help us knock a hole in that darkness for someone else along the way. Fellowship is not just talking to each other or eating a meal with each other. The Bible talked about over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, the fellowship of ministering to the saints. In other words, there's a load to pick up. There's a job to do. I like what, I don't know if Brother Grizzle told me. I don't think he did. I think maybe Brother Brian told me. I'm sure that's the way it was. I hadn't been here too long. He said, "You know, Pastor," he said, "Brother Grizzle said, and it's right." He said, "God gives the church everything the church needs to get the job done." Boy, that'll help a pastor just to put his confidence in the Lord. "Lord, I don't see how this is going to work. But God, you're going to give us what we need when we need it for the glory of God." The Bible said, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." Then the Bible said, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." I saw this and I thought it was worth sharing this morning. Your pastor's bad sometimes to tell you about the bad that's going on. But this really blessed my heart. Sam Coonrod, I guess is how you would say his name. He's a Giants reliever. I was hoping Brother Chance would be here today. You share this with him, Brother. When he listens, he'll hear it. In Los Angeles, he was citing his faith as a Christian man as a reason that he did not kneel. When everybody else on that field was kneeling in support of Black Lives Matter, one man stood, and he's saying, I only kneel to my God. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. What I'm trying to get you to see, that'll cost that man. You mark it down. It may be in the shadows, Brother Steve. It may be, and really, in the environment we're living in, it could cost him his life. He made a bunch of people mad. What I'm trying to get us to see this morning is fellowship is not all just about grins and talking to one another and sitting. I love that part of fellowship, Bo Steve. But honey, as time goes on, if our Lord gives us a few more days down here, it's not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse. I believe the fellowship of God's people is going to mean more than it's ever meant in our life. Work at it. Be determined to stay in fellowship with God so you can help somebody else along the way. He said it was a desire to remain consistent in his beliefs. The reliever, Sam Coonrod, explained why he didn't kneel during a pregame moment of unity at Dodger Stadium Thursday. I meant no ill by it, he said. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I'm just a Christian. I believe I can't kneel before anything but God, Jesus Christ. Well, I like that. I chose not to kneel. I feel if I did kneel, I'd be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. That's what the man said. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. To a degree, listen to me carefully. When you and I go through the motions, function apart from unction. I'm not saying we're a hypocrite, but I am saying this. We're acting in a hypocritical way. We have access, Brother Chris, to the throne of God. We can get our heart right, get our heart in tune. Somebody said, well, that old Bible, it just don't mean to me what it used to. Let me tell you something, Bible ain't changed. Holy Ghost ain't changed. Your Heavenly Father ain't changed. The Son of God ain't changed. If you look closely, there's something. And no wonder David cried out, search me, O God, and try me, and know my ways. See if there be any wicked way in me. David was saying, I've been down this road once, and I don't want to go again. I want to be in fellowship with God. You know, had David been reading his Bible that morning, first he was out of place. He was on the rooftop resting while his men were on the battlefield fighting. I had a preacher tell me one time, the first church I took, you'll like this, Brother Houston, you can just imagine it. The first church I took, man, we remodeled the parsonage, and there was a deck that was falling in on the end of it. We didn't have a lot of money, but we could buy some paint and made shutters, painted the parsonage gray, and it had burgundy shutters on it. I'm colorblind, but it looked good to me. But anyway, went through the church, and you know where it's at, Brother Rose. You attended there. We painted the roof on the church, one of them old metal shingle roofs. They'll last forever if you keep them painted. And remodeled and painted and all of that. And I was in a preacher's fellowship in Bristol. And a man said, Brother Vinoy, you ain't got no business doing that kind of stuff. He said, you're a preacher. And he said to another man, and you would know him, Brother Ike, if I called his name, you would know him. He said to another man, said, tell him, preacher, he ain't got no business doing that. And this other preacher, he was an old preacher, is what he said. He said, I ain't never asked my men to do anything I wouldn't do. That's what he said, brother. He said, I've never asked my men to do anything that I wouldn't do. And then he said this. This goes hand in hand, except give blood. Amen. Because he was a pastor that, like me, goes out. I'm going to try it anyway. If I go out, they'll just have to get me up. Amen. I'm going to try it anyway. Amen. I told the men this morning, I used to pass out at the smell of a hospital. How in the world are you going to pastor if you can't get over that? God got me over it. Amen. I'm going to hospital now, and I don't pass out. Praise the Lord. Maybe people wishing I would, but I don't. Amen. Fellowship. It's sweet. Fellowship. David hadn't read his Bible that morning. When that servant of David said, is not this Bathsheba the wife of Uriah the Hittite? I'm just going to say it like this. If David had halfway been walking with God, he had said to that servant, you're right. I'm out of line. And oh, how it cost him. And it's sad, but there's more people that know that story than the other stories in David's life. I've said for years, you can let a man come to town, win 10,000 souls to Jesus, and mess up on a Saturday night, and the only thing it'll make a newspaper is what messed up. Where it messed up. It's important that we walk with God. It's important that we're not just going through the motions. I'm begging you. How many believe God can use this message in our hearts and in our lives? Don't get caught just going through the motions. It ain't worth it. Somebody's looking for them lights. Brother Wade, somebody's looking for them lights. Somebody needs to know there's somebody out yonder and there's somebody back yonder. Amen. I'm just glad you come this morning.